Celtics history takes us to a dark time, the end of the new big three. Ray Allen joins the enemy. We're talking about it on this Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, it's John Corrales of MassLive.com. Welcome you back. It's a Tuesday Locked On Celtics podcast, and I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. It really does mean a lot to have you on board on a daily basis. So yesterday, I think I screwed up the editing. I don't know what happened yesterday, but the final answer, I wanted to answer it now to get it out of the way. I was asked what my favorite obscure moment in these historical deep dives that we're doing. What was my favorite obscure moment? And it was 1978 when the Celtics owners switched teams with the Buffalo Braves. And it was Irv Levin that went to the Braves owners and basically said, I want to move a team to California. I can't move the Celtics. So let's trade teams, basically. And they did. And the Celtics owners became the Braves owners, and the Braves became the Clippers out in San Diego. And then eventually they became the LA Clippers, and Donald Sterling bought the team from Irv Levin. And Donald Sterling bought the team from Irv Levin because Jerry Buss, who owned the Lakers, the Buss family still owns the Lakers, bought a couple of buildings from Donald Sterling and gave him the money that he needed to buy the Clippers. It's a wild, wild scene. So I needed to answer that question because it really is. I mean, how often do you ever hear that? Has that ever happened before? Owners trading teams? No, that's such a wild story. And it happened in 1978, a time where the NBA was at its lowest point. I don't think the Celtics were nearly as popular, and it's not something that gets talked about much because they went on and drafted Larry Bird, and the Big Three was formed, and eventually, in short order, the Celtics were champions again, and Larry Bird was here to kind of help rescue the NBA. So that little trading of franchises is kind of lost, but it happened. It happened in 1978, and is absolutely my favorite little obscure tidbit in Celtics history. Now, Celtics history takes us to Ray Allen leaving the Celtics, going to Miami. That's where we are. It's 2012-13, and this is the end of the big three. The summer of 2012, all the way to the summer of 2013, this goes very wrong for the Celtics. We lose Rondo to an injury. Avery Bradley is hurt and struggling. Doc Rivers is on his way out. Paul Pierce, KG on their way out. We're coming to this. This is the last season before we really flip a page into the current Celtics and the Brad Stevens era. So today we're going into Ray Allen leaving. This podcast is all about Ray Allen going to Miami and that feeling of betrayal that some people feel. So I got Chuck McKenney and Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com back together so we can talk about Ray Allen's departure. So when last we spoke, the Boston Celtics were losing Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals, and the LeBron, the big turnaround for LeBron. So we move into the 2012 offseason. And the 2012 offseason brings us the end of an era in Boston because the big three ends, and we lose, really the big story here is The departure of Greg Steemsma. So, Chuck, I want to go to you first.
The next Bill Russell, if only.
Shout out to Steemsma for getting $2.5 million after that 1 year in Boston. So, okay. So that this summer comes around, Ray Allen decides that he's going to turn down 2 years, $12 million with the Boston Celtics to go take 3 years and just under $10 million with the Miami Heat. So he's taking less money to go to Miami as opposed to staying in Boston to give it one last shot, which triggered a fairly significant reaction from Boston Celtics fans. Mike, you're more measured. Why don't we start with you?
I guess I am more measured. I've been told that I'm a voice of reason on Twitter. I guess that's a good thing.
I didn't know that
anyway,
was allowed on Twitter.
I know. That's why I was a little surprised when I heard that. But I do try to keep it even keeled. So I will say about Ray, yeah, he had the right to leave. Yeah, I understand that he wanted a better situation. He could probably see that the big three and the Celtics in general were their window had closed and they were going to have he was going to find something a lot better somewhere else. But the fact that he took less money, like by half, and he went to the team that just beat him and the Celtics, which happened to be the LeBron James Heat, the biggest rival that the Celtics had at that time. I mean, that didn't sit right. That left a bad taste in my mouth, and obviously for a lot of people, because we still have the discussion, should Ray Allen's 20 be retired? And
no.
I think the majority says no, and I'm in that majority. I'm there with KG getting number 5 in the rafters, but not with Ray getting number 20. And so it was a regrettable thing, and then it was made worse by the fact that Ray hit that shot in the finals to save LeBron's bacon. LeBron doesn't win that title if Ray doesn't make that shot or if he doesn't even go there in the first place. So that's my feeling about it. It's a bad chapter in Celtics history. I'd just soon leave it in the past, but I know Chuck has a few things to say.
I mean, I'm not looking to drudge this up. I mean, John's basically putting a gun to my head and telling me to vent. Now that we're peeling away the layers of the onion, I mean, everything Mike said is accurate, obviously. And then, you know, so there's a lot of different angles to this, right? And I think aside from Ray leaving to go play for Miami, you know, the nemesis in the moment, I think – you know, Jackie McMullen had a few stories. It was really like the information that came out afterwards and learning that Ray wasn't who we thought he was when he was here. Ray had this persona where he was just the I'm going to go along with the guys. I'm going to sacrifice for the greater good. You know, he's the more quiet of all the personalities. But the more you hear the guys talk about him and the more investigative reporting that was done, it was not the case at all. Ray was a conniving, backstabbing SOB. I mean, and I think back of those times back in, you know, whatever it was, 2011 or 2012, when we started to hear, you know, we talked about this previous podcast about the rumors about Rondo being disgruntled and everything. Well, a lot of those started from Donnie Marshall, Ray's buddy, who was doing was working for the Comcast at the time. He started sprinkling that shit out there, right? And at the time, you get it from Donnie, you think it's inside information. You don't know that it's coming from Ray, who has an axe to grind. So you just hear about these things. And then, you know, just going through some of the reports and hearing about how Ray was very secluded. He wasn't giving as much as the other guys were giving. Now I get that some guys are loners and stuff, but to me, when you have Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rajon Rondo, there were several players from that team who basically said Ray was a jerk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who are we supposed to believe, right? I mean, I see Urey's allowed to, you know, pursue his career however he wants.
Right.
It's a business, and it can't be a business, you know, only one way. He can go. But when you have – when there are multiple reports about the rifts between Ray and Rondo, then multiple reports about, you know, Ray just being more of a selfish guy behind the scenes and while he's, you know, screaming Ubuntu publicly. And then all of the players who, you know, here in Boston, we all really hold on pedestals, Paul, KG, come out and are against him. I mean, I think the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, I don't think Ray is who most of us thought we were at the time. And to me, I felt like he was phony. It's fake. It's phony. You fooled us. Now, you know, I just don't have time for that. So that's what really pissed me off about him. And when you go back and you watch some of those highlights, you know, the runs that they had, man, Ray benefited a lot from Rondo. The passes he made, finding Ray, I mean, come on. I mean, we know Rondo isn't the easiest to work with. That's been documented. But, man, like, I just feel like Ray was biting the hand that was feeding him because Rondo was just spectacular in getting the ball where he needed it to be. So, you know, that's really why I'm all, you know, I'm still pissed about Ray. It's just that, you know, I feel like he was phony. And he had an agenda, and he was trying to make Rondo out to be the bad guy. And when push comes to shove, I'm sorry. But if Paul and KG are like, Ray's a dick, then I'm sorry. Ray's a dick. Am I wrong?
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. I used to eat a lot of cereal as a kid. Didn't we all? We liked those sugary, crazy cereals, like, you know, Frosted Flakes and the Fruity Pebbles and all those crazy, you know, kids' breakfast cereals. Full of sugar, full of crap. Nothing that you would normally eat as an adult. Really, adult cereals are all, like, brown and bland and full of bran and, like, ugh. But luckily, somebody has figured out how to get us back to, like, our kids-type cereal without eating the sugar and the junk. I have been turned on to Magic Spoon, and I don't know how they do it. I didn't know about Magic Spoon until a few weeks ago, but let me tell you something here. Magic Spoon gives me 4 great flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. They taste amazing. Like, I don't know how they do it, but it's really too good to be true because it's zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It's keto friendly, it's gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, GMO free. I don't know how they did it. I said it's the third time I've said I don't know how they did it. I had the frosted ones this morning. It's mind blowing how good it is. Try it yourself, and here's the deal. It costs you nothing. It's risk free. Go to magicspoon.com/NBA, get a variety pack, try it. Be sure to use our promo code NBA at checkout. You get free shipping. They are so confident at Magic Spoon that you're going to love it. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason at all, full refund, no questions asked. It is a risk-free purchase. MagicSpoon.com/NBA. Use the code NBA for free shipping. And we thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring the podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So there, on the basketball side, I definitely push back on this feeling of he went to the rival. I get it. It's like the cardinal sin amongst fans. You go to the team that just beat you. You go to your rival. That's something that people cannot stand. It's the Kevin Durant thing. If you are a good player and you just got beat by somebody and then you go join them, that's seen as, you know, that's a sin. So, but I push back on that for the same things. I think we're all in agreement, but just to say it out loud, that
Free agents are free to do whatever they want. However they want, it's their career. They have earned the right to become free agents. If he wanted to sign with Miami for $5 an hour, then whatever the minimum wage was, he could have signed there for that. He turned down more money. It's your right to turn down more money. Pretty sure that the players union wasn't thrilled with players. They never like players taking less money, but whatever. So Ray goes and does what he does. That sucks. It sucked. But I never hold that against Ray. He found a better situation. The Celtics were definitely trending kind of downward. The big three was aging out. We could see the end of the road there. And he went to a better situation for him. At 36 years old, I get it. But all that other stuff, Chuck, is accurate too. Like, the Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo relationship is really interesting because Ray and Rajon were very tight at the beginning. When Rondo came to the Celtics, he initially was kind of like mimicking Ray Allen. Like he came to the arena super early because Ray came to the arena super early. Ray, for all of his phoniness, which is documented, he was a dogged professional on the floor. He had his routine. He was going to go through that routine. It was obsessive. It was basically an OCD type of thing. He had to. I remember, Chuck, one time we were working at BZ, or I don't know if you were there at that point, but I was sitting there in the back. I'm in this place, for people who don't know, it's ENG. It's kind of like behind the scenes, and I'm watching like all of the satellite feeds and everything. And one of the feeds was from the Garden, and it was just the camera pointing down at the court from way up top, and Ray Allen is warming up. And I'm just sitting there watching Ray Allen warm up. And he's doing this thing from the three-point line. He goes up to half court, comes down, sprints down, catches, and shoots. I counted the steps, and he took the same amount of steps every time from half court. He would take the exact same amount of steps. Everything was precise, precision. Every time he did something, he moved to a new spot. Whenever he did that next thing, it was exactly the same thing. So Rondo was enamored with that early on. But the story's been told that Rondo eventually kind of steered away from Ray Allen. Didn't want to be the Ray Allen type. And was kind of slowly going more down the KG road. Which is much more intense and emotional, and Ray Allen had a problem with that. And that what precipitated the fissure in that relationship. That Ray Allen was like, hey, you're kind of like my protege. Like, you're my rookie. You're my guy. I'm showing you the ropes. Don't leave me midstream. Don't go, like, even if it's to a different teammate, he's like, don't leave. You got more to learn. And Rondo was like, nah, I'm good. I'm not, I tried it. I'm not really down with it. I'm going to go do this other thing now. And I think that's where the whole thing started to break. And you're right. The Donnie Marshall thing, I still am not, I kind of can't believe that they had that situation going on. And I don't know how Donnie Marshall got that job, but To have a guy out there that was essentially Ray Allen's mouthpiece, was a little tough. And maybe that's why he didn't last as long. I mean, he took a different job once Ray Allen left. Like, he to have him kind of one-sided kind of put the Ray Allen stuff out there, that's really, you know, you could get that calculating, you know, Ray is crafting a narrative. Ray Allen is a politician. He will, like, smile. Yeah. He spent a long time crafting a very, very carefully, carefully crafted personality. Like, he created this persona of, you know, almost like perfection, the family man, the, you know, ultimate professional. He sacrificed more than anybody, and he did, but this exposed him. The end of his career in Boston did expose him for nothing else, really, honestly, for being a human being. But he spent so long trying to tell us that he was kind of like superhuman in a lot of ways that when you saw him just be a regular human, that became a negative.
Yeah, I mean, you could. That's painting it in the most beneficial way to Ray, of course. There's just, you know, I think the more you go back, you just there was the he got pissed when Avery Bradley started to play more. So guys get pissed when they start to lose playing time. I get that, but just like you stated, he's a politician is such a great way to describe him. But you may remember going back to I think it was the early days of Twitter. Was it like at the championship season or 08 or 09? Ray was one of the first to quote unquote get hacked.
I knew you were going to that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And at the time I think it was new to everybody, and he sent out some explicit
very
sexual messages that were clearly meant for someone else via text. And they went out to his Twitter feed, and he came and he dropped the whole "I was hacked," and then he left Twitter, and nothing really. I don't remember that sticking. Again, that happens now; it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
But Ray really skated on that one. I don't know what it was like at home with the missus, but that was, I'll never forget that, Mr. Politician slipped up there.
Yeah. I remember the he got hacked thing. It was very easy to say I got hacked and just kind of brush it off. Nothing really came out of that, but it feels like it was pretty clearly supposed to be a DM. Back then, a lot of people were screwing up the DMs in the regular tweets. And I think that very much felt like that.
Did Anthony Weiner get hacked? Because
yes.
Same kind of thing.
Also, yes.
In the political, using the political analogy.
Yes.
I mean, I'll say this. You know, Mike was talking about, you know, retiring Ray's number. And if even – let's just say you alter the last 2 years of Ray's. Let's just say Ray played out another season and then he left after Ainge had traded everybody. Or let's just say it wasn't Ray leaving for Miami. Let's just say maybe he got stupid money from another team, a mid-level contender, and he took it. I still think that when you look back, to me, yes, we needed all three of them together. But when you take some short-timers, and we'll say KG and Ray were short-timers, the impact that Garnett had was exponentially better or more significant than the impact that Ray had. It just was. And that's the reason why – you know, I think Garnett deserves to be up there. I started to formulate this thought in my head, and I didn't, I wanted to catch myself, but I felt like Ray was more, riding their coattails. And that's really not fair, because he was a big part of it, but he was definitely the third wheel. And that's why for me, Garnett was just so much more valuable to this team that I just think it's undeniable that he gets his number retired for only being here, whatever it was, six seasons. And I just don't think, even if, I liked Ray, I would say, I just don't think he did enough to warrant that.
That's right, Chuck. I agree with that. And as an example, I think the 2009 playoffs hit that right on the head, because the Celtics lost Garnett, and they had to struggle to get by Chicago. Ray played out of his mind in that series. And they did win, the Celtics, but missing KG was a lot worse than they would have had if they had been missing Ray. And I think you could see it from that series. So I agree with that. Garnett was much more of an impact on the whole organization than Ray Allen was.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. He changed everything. And then we've talked about this when they traded for Garnett. We talked about the return of Celtic pride was 100% on Kevin Garnett. Paul Pierce was here, and he couldn't get it done. And now Ray Allen was coming off an extraordinary season. We went through the numbers. It is shocking how much he did end up sacrificing for the Boston Celtics. There's no doubt about that. But he was definitely the third of the big three. And it was KG who came in and changed the entire culture of the team. He's the guy that anchored that defense. He's the guy that lifted up and made everybody better. Kendrick Perkins doesn't have the career that he has without Kevin Garnett. Paul Pierce does not have this turnaround resurgence and love from the city of Boston that without Kevin Garnett. Like, none of this happens without Kevin Garnett. So somebody somewhere is going to look at the numbers and the short amount of time that he's here and use that as the argument against Kevin Garnett. But KG, that number is more than just coming here, winning a championship, and being good, and being a defensive player of the year, by the way, also being one of the best players in the NBA. But he made this franchise, like, he made it a proud franchise again. And that is extraordinarily important in the overall scheme of things. He wasn't just a good player that came here and did good things. He reshaped the franchise. Now, Ray probably is, I can see him being a little bit bitter about all of this because we do hold KG up on this pedestal. Because, I don't know how you could be bitter about Paul Pierce, but Paul's been here. Paul's the guy. I mean, he's a life, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's a lifelong Celtic. You know what I mean? So I can see Ray being bitter that he's discussed in these terms because he was also a very, very important part of this team. But in the end, by the time like he left, he was 36 years old when he left, he had become basically an extraordinarily high-end spot-up shooter. Like, you couldn't count on him to bring the ball up. He was turning the ball over a lot. He couldn't dribble anymore. He wasn't the Milwaukee Bucks Ray Allen. He wasn't the Seattle Sonics Ray Allen, the all-star who was kind of maybe underrated in history for a guy who could do a lot of different things. Remember, he was in a dunk contest once. Like, he had a good overall game. But by the time his career in Boston had ended, he was a spot-up shooter. That's exactly what Miami needed at that point, an elite guy to stand in the corner and catch and shoot. So, and look, Ray was also, it was not just the relationship with Rondo. It's not just that. He was traded. He was told that he was going to, was it Milwaukee?
Memphis,
O.J. Mayo. He was going to be traded for O.J. Mayo. He was basically told it's done, and then it fell apart at the last second. So from that perspective, like, I can see him saying, yeah, you know what? You almost traded me. I'm pissed off about the situation. I'm bitter about the situation. Maybe the ego's a little out of control behind all this. But I can see him saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. This was nice. Thanks for the ring. I'm out. I guess the real question is, does Ray Allen get this type? Do people feel this way about Ray Allen if he took the money to go to Dallas instead of Miami? You know, if he went somewhere else, anywhere besides Miami?
No, I don't. I think it changes the narrative a bit, a significant amount. It's funny not to delve too deeply into Ray, but when you look at it, like, his career was really split up between three teams. Mostly, he played most of it with Milwaukee, right? And then there was several seasons in Seattle and then Boston. Who's retiring his number? He's a Hall of Fame player, no doubt about it. Who, like, because it was kind of, you know, he split up his prime years amongst three teams. Who looks at him and says, we gotta, you know,
right,
he's our guy. We gotta retire his number.
Right, because it's seven seasons with Milwaukee, five with Boston, five with Seattle. I would say, if anything, I would say
Miami.
right.
Two seasons.
So, but here's where he gets screwed. The answer, I think, would be Seattle, But obviously, they're not Seattle anymore.
Right.
So the OKC Thunder have no reason to retire Ray Allen's number. But if the Seattle Sonics still existed, I would say the 5 years that he had as a Sonic, where he averaged almost 25 points a game.
His best years. Yeah.
I mean, he shot 39% from three over those years. He was an all-star basically every full year he was in Seattle. So he traded there mid-season. So 4 years he was an all-star in Seattle. That would be the answer. If Seattle ever gets a team again, I can see them doing that and saying, you know, maybe making Ray Allen, like, you give the Seattle Sonics a team again, and Ray Allen's one of the numbers that they retire, like, right away, just to kind of give it a boost.
Well, so maybe that's just what Ray's fate is. Thanks for playing, Ray. Thanks.
Ouch.
Wow, seriously. So, okay, so that's the Ray Allen talk, which I think that's all that needs to be said. It's wild that people still want to keep carrying it on, but hey, there's a very strong anti-Ray Allen set. It's still very strong.
Because the players carry it on.
No, that's right? True.
The players are carrying it on.
That's
right.
That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Like, it's still a problem. Him leaving, they'll say, like, he never called. Not even to say, like, hey, you know, it's been fun. Thanks. Bye. He just left. And, like, KG and Pierce, like, I think those two guys understand that it's a business. But to, like, leave and go to your rival, which I can understand a player being pissed about going to the rival, because that's, like, they really hated LeBron. For him to just leave and, like, do the Irish exit without just everybody's like, what happened to Ray? He's in Miami now? What? Like, that definitely is something that they're going to carry on. Like, we are only just now getting Paul Pierce saying, like, I'm ready to bury the hatchet. But KG, I don't think is.
It's going to be a tough one.
So, yeah, I mean, look, Ray didn't come back to Paul's number retirement. Is he going to come back to KG's number retirement? I mean, that'll be telling.
Highly unlikely.
Now, what happens if he does?
They'll have a kumbaya and everything will be okay after that. But yeah, that might not happen for a while now. Who knows when that...
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. Wow. Again, if they make up, if KG, if I see the hug and they kind of get out, then, you know, then some of the bitterness will go away. I mean, it's just natural. But, it, you know, 5 years from now, if we're still having a conversation, you know, about Ray Allen or the 2012 season, those feelings are going to bubble up and I'm going to be like, look, you know, this is, you know, I was pissed. I was pissed about Ray because of these reasons, as opposed to I am pissed. Two different things, but you know, I don't think a lot of that goes away. And, you know, we talked in depth on a lot of things from Donnie Marshall to, you know, other stuff that, you know, maybe a lot of fans aren't really aware of. They just think we're all grouchy Boston fans who were mad that he went to the Heat. There's a lot more to it than that. So, yeah. You know, it's nuanced, and like we are. I mean, it's just we're highbrow fans. Come on,
that's us. We're a very, very nuanced group of people. We've said what we've got to say about Ray Allen, but there's much more to this season. A very disappointing season where the Celtics fall to the 7th seed, just barely play above 500. They lose Rondo. We still don't have Avery Bradley back. We'll get to that stuff tomorrow. So if you're not a subscriber, go ahead and subscribe. Share your thoughts about Ray Allen. Feel free. I'm hoping that eventually we can move past this someday. But share your thoughts with us on Twitter. I'm Reds_Army_John. Chuck is Reds_Army_Chuck. Mike is @MikeDinan. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. And if you are not a subscriber, go ahead and subscribe. Follow us on Spotify. Those of you who have subscribed,
Thank you for doing so. Thank you for giving a 5-star rating and a good written review. It is super, super helpful. Really, really helpful to do that. You've made this podcast the top ranked Celtics podcast in the world, and I really appreciate that. Now, that's the end of this podcast. Go tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball.